Welcome back into Roosters. It is a fun, casual joint. We are in the Horseshoe Lounge, and by we, I mean Justin Zwick, Bobby Carpenter, Jeremy Birmingham. I am Austin Ward. We'll have Bill Landis in here later on. We have two, Bob, spring practices under Ohio State's belt. What should we talk about?
I don't know. We can talk about the sweet 90s playlist that's been rolling here. I mean, I've been really enjoying
it's
that.
It's another one of the perks of coming in to hang out at Roosters.
The Roosters Lounge here. This is fantastic.
La Vida Loca got us going here before we jumped on.
I love it. Why not? But, you know, two practices in, shelled practices. Thought we got to see some good stuff. I mean, very vanilla, but still getting a chance to watch some guys work some things in. You know, the quarterbacks are challenging them a little bit early. As much as you can challenge guys as far as, you know, with what the throws, a lot of times your early installs are going to be very base defenses, like your single high cover three, and you know, some they play, you know, little some quarters, things like that that aren't crazy, you know, scheme wise intricate, but the throws that it gives you are the hardest throws on the field. They're predominantly maybe some run defenses, or you want to pack the middle, and you've got to be able to stand up and throw that long, you know, 45 yard 12 to 15 yard comeback from the opposite hash. I mean, it's a lot. The ball's in the air a long time, traveling a long distance. Justin can talk about it. And defenses are like, hey, we'll give you that. And by the way, the corners are pretty good here at Ohio State. So it's not a give is a loose
news
term.
Flash.
Yeah. But see what guys can stand up and throw that. Cause if you can run the ball well, that play is almost always going to be there. And so, if you can complete that at 70%, like you're going to get 35, 40 yards a game on that. Like that's a good deal. And all of a sudden, boom, then they get out other stuff. You can run the ball and do some different things. So, you know, challenging that, challenging the corners, a lot of man, stuff like that. Just basic stuff. See if you can go play football without really pads.
I think early on with a lot of the new guys, it's probably just, hey, just come see how we do this.
Yeah.
Come get into our practices and kind of get a feel for how they're going. And we're just going to throw some simple stuff at you and just let you go out and play some easy football. We're not necessarily going to nail down on reads or this or that. Just we're throwing routes. We're in shells. Mm-hmm. Get comfortable, you know. Cadences are different, you know, play calls are different. So it's just letting these new guys get a feel for it early on. And then the young guys haven't played for a while. So getting them back on the field and getting back into action. But, you know, the few clips I've seen, you know, looks good. Yeah, you got four or five star guys in the quarterback room. Yeah. So what are you going to do?
I mean, I guess there's perfect, talent out there. Yeah,
there's talent there. It's just going to be, you know, bringing it all together. I did, you know, we talked about it last week. I think
the Beatles sang a song about that.
Did they?
Yeah, called Come Together.
Right now?
That's kind of the key.
Okay.
At some point, maybe not the immediacy of this moment. Find the urgency, the edge, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Right now, they're coming together in vacation locations. So that's key, too. The bonding that's going to occur there, the fun times.
Berm had some questions about that.
I mean, we'll get to that. But here's something that last week was sort of, it's like milk toast. We're not getting a lot out of it.
Gross.
I don't know about that.
I
think you can judge a lot like about a restaurant by the quality of the bread and butter that they bring out. It's like a Mexican restaurant with the chips.
Yeah, the bread and butter looked great, okay, but we didn't get to see the rest of the meal. You probably got to.
Well, you didn't get to taste right, that.
So you've seen a little bit more than we have. So I want to talk about Thursday afternoon when we had an opportunity to talk to the returning defensive stars, the guys that were all coming back, and first time really to talk to most of these guys since the end of the Cotton Bowl. And it brought to the fore an interesting quote from Denzel Burke, and I want to touch base with you on this because I know that as athletes, like there's two things that you really believe in, and this specifically for the two of you. One is freedom of expression.
Money and women.
Freedom of expression and the freedom of speech, right? You guys are big believers in free speech and free expression. But you're also...
I don't know. I believe in heavy government monitoring over our lives, so maybe you shouldn't have...
Yeah, be careful what you say, Berm.
But you're
this
also...
could be a nice debate with big government Berm.
But you're also big believers in the sanctity of the team.
Yep.
Right? And the locker room, and don't say things to put your teammates in a bad light or whatever.
Express yourself, but stay within your expression box.
Right. So Denzel Burke said that he wants to see more from Will Howard when asked what was his first impression of Will Howard was.
Why wouldn't he? He's had practice twice.
Right. So on the surface, like that's not a big deal, right? It's like you've only seen him at two practices. There hasn't been contact. You're not, but it's been taken and spun in this direction where it's like Denzel Burke was talking about Will Howard. What would you guys, how would you have handled that if...
I think you maybe could have contextualized it a little bit more, but here's the thing. Those guys see each other and interact with each other all the time. and at least they have since he's been there. Like, you're going against these guys in practice and saying, like, I'd like to see more of him. I guess the tone matters in those things. Surrounding context matters a lot, where it's like, hey, he's done a good job. I'd like to see more of him. Or he's been really bad. I'd like to see more of him.
I'm going to need to see more because
or option three, Bob. I don't even have an opinion yet because he's practiced twice without pads on.
We have five quarterbacks that are rolling through there, and we've practiced twice. So
maybe I'll give you an opinion in 13 more practices.
I think that what do you want me to do? Like, I think the guy's the greatest quarterback of all time since I've seen him.
Wearing shells today, he was awesome. We're going to win the national championship.
I think that is only. Only in this could that be misconstrued as like, hey, I'd like a little more information before I'm ready to draw a conclusion. Because the information I got was so small. To stick with the food analogy, like, hey, man, I had the first bite of my steak. Well, what do you like? Is it well cooked well? I'm like, I don't know.
Not into the middle of it yet. Let me get a couple more
cuts here. Let me actually finish chewing, and then we'll maybe decide as well. I just touched the lips.
I'm just fascinated because, you know, 20 years ago, if someone, a cornerback said something.
No, it did happen 20 years ago. You weren't here, Berm. I had an offensive lineman come out and basically say he thought Troy should be playing.
Oh, well, the internet didn't really.
So, I've been through it.
Tell me.
I've been through this.
Tell me. I think I know who
this
was.
More probably a little bit longer after, so you had a little bit more than a couple days. But as a young player.
Two practices is a little different than, you know, if people have an opinion that they formed over months or whatever. Okay,
I think I have an idea.
But Jay-Z, somebody who was back.
But clearly, it's bothered you quite a bit. Since here we are,
I haven't really thought about it until you brought it up. I was like, that did happen to me.
Well, now it's 20 years later. Tell us how you feel.
Hey, get out. Now you've got to get out your pen and paper.
Tell us how you feel.
Start talking.
But that stuff happens. I mean, you have people who have relationships with people in locker rooms who like someone better or this or that or the other. To come out and say it, I think you have to have a little more couth. You know,
an offensive lineman saying it is different than like a 5'10" cornerback saying it. Like 20 years ago, Will Howard could probably.
Whoa.
Compared to Will Howard.
That's how you're going to talk about the best cornerback in the country.
Take it outside.
Listen, I'm saying Will Howard 25 years ago. So they, we'll talk about it in practice, right? Like, we'll do a little.
I think Denzel quarterback is power. Qualified to talk about the quarterbacks he's
we'll
facing.
We'll do a little quarterback power and see if
the ball that's coming. You know, he sees the ball that's coming.
I don't know. Like, I don't know if it's something that should be talked about, if it was a big deal.
Well,
if
I'll say this for Denzel. I saw two
throws.
These
mac and cheese bites are a big deal.
I saw two throws. That was just a clip, a little quick clip. But I want to see more of him as well after those two throws that I saw. So, I mean, I think we all want to. I guess it does come down to how did he say it? What was the question like? I don't think he's jumping on his back saying, oh,
it was like,
what
are your first impressions of Will Howard? And it's like, well, I'd like to see more.
Yeah.
But and I don't think that that's something that's different than what Denzel Burke, who has become one of the best spokesmen for Ohio State, and the standard is the standard publicly, anybody in that locker room.
I'm going to tell you why.
And I don't think it's
weird.
Different than what he would say to Will Howard in the locker
he
room.
He said, I'm going to keep it real. That's what he. That's how. That's how he prefaced
well, because everybody.
Well, once you say that, you can say anything you want, right?
So once you preface it by saying, "You know me, I've got to keep it real. I want to see more from him." That's why the context, I think, is important. It doesn't sound like a. Well, you know what? It's only been 16 minutes. I have no idea. I need to see more. It felt like a. Well, he needs to be better, and that how when you started off by saying. You know me. I'm going to say what I think.
I need to see more. Like I don't think that's a bad thing.
No, I mean, it's just such a different thing.
Yes, different. I mean, everybody would even wax poetically about, like, hey, how great it was.
Well, like, come out and be like, well, man, the ball really zips off of his hand or blah, blah, blah. Like, that's different.
All our quarterbacks are starters. They could be starters everywhere. I mean, like, dude, the guy gave honest. You want people to be honest, and then people beat him up. Like,
that's why I'm not complaining about it at all.
Yeah, like, it's a real. I'm going to call it a take. That's
I'm
just
not
an observation.
I just think it's a fun, casual conversation.
It is.
I thought you were going to go more about his desire to return
for the Brotherhood.
The Brotherhood, as I came back to, you know, I wanted to improve myself a little bit, came back for the Brotherhood and everything. And then a former teammate of ours, who I...
Maybe question that a little bit?
Well, was it really just about NIL?
Was it came back just for NIL? I'm like, well, I mean, that's part of it, and that gives guys the opportunity to come back. Jacob Hester on our show, he was on with him the day before. He's like, no, that's fake. It's fake. So what does he call it? Stolen valor and stolen virtue. Like, that's when guys take the pictures and the jerseys and everything. But I'm like, having NIL and it not now being a completely binomial decision where either A, you get really no money and you're playing college football, or B, you go to the draft and wherever you're drafted and you get paid. Where now it's like, hey, I can come back, get better at this, make some money while I do it, and also play with guys and do some things.
I can still come back for the brotherhood, but I'm just going to make a little bit of money and help
myself.
Or
I could I could also just transfer and go somewhere else and play the brotherhood there for dollars.
That's the thing about like Denzel Burke specifically. He also said, yes, NIL was part of this, and he might not have been able to do that. It's not as simple. It's what you're talking about, Bob. Like, it has to be the brotherhood or nothing. They collectively, eight or nine guys had a decision where they could have gone to the NFL. And they're like, well, would we rather take our chances with that paycheck, or could we all play together, also accomplish things that we want to, get paid, still hang out in college without full-time responsibilities and having to make our own meals or pay for trainers and not have strength coaches? Like, that's just all those things line up to help Ohio State retain the roster. So much gets made about the NIL and are they going to be able to recruit at a high enough level and offer enough inducements up front? Well, I think the choice here for me, it's like, you're going to keep the veterans together. That's probably a better way to do it.
I think that's better. That's one good thing from NIL, in my opinion, is giving these guys the feeling like, I don't have to go make that jump right now to try and get paid.
Yeah.
I'm going to make some money here. I'm going to have some good times. Yeah, everybody loves, I loved college, locker room, everything about it.
Everybody knows you loved college, Chelsea. Yeah,
everybody, Frank. It's just, it gives them that opportunity where they're not like, well, I have to go do this now. I'm going to come back. And you said eight or nine guys, for them to all do that and have that foresight of saying, hey, we're going to make some money here. It's not like,
Right, but he still would have made more had he gone to the NFL.
It's true. And, and here's the thing, the guys that would have replaced them, they would have made money as well. Like, this isn't like, the only reason you came back was for that, and then that wouldn't have been there for anybody else.
It's not like, well, you're one of 11 players on this team that's going to get money.
It's nobody else is worth it.
That's all part of it now. And you can make that argument for guys kind of across the country. Mm-hmm. And if, like, you really didn't like playing here or anywhere,
if it wasn't
you can transfer and
there's
maybe
no
make
brotherhood
more.
About it. Denzel Burke could say, I'm in the portal.
Yeah,
highest bidder, let's go.
Yes. You think that maybe there would have been a market for Denzel Burke or JT Tuimoloau?
Just maybe a bit.
Or Emeka Ogbuka, where people have been trying to get him into the portal for 2 years. Teams
maybe a more robust market. Like, so that's what I'm saying. Like, is it part of it? Yeah, there's a factor to it, but that's no different of, hey, if the team coming back looked like they were going 4-8, there probably wouldn't have been a lot of brotherhood talk about that either. Because, I'm not coming back to go 4-8 again if I can go leave or do something else. So, you've got a good team. You've got coaches you like. You've got unfinished business. Oh, and by the way, you can get compensated a little bit here. Not as much as you would in the NFL, most likely. And you could get your free agency clock started, all those things, but you can have it. So, it's like one piece of the little pie slice.
I think it may not even be as much of a big deal for guys like Denzel Burke or JT Tuimoloau, but keeping someone like Ty Hamilton, where like he would have to take a little bit of a gamble that maybe he could make more money at Ohio State here, or maybe at the NFL, don't know. It'd be up to the training camp performance and getting to another contract, but
that's when you say
that's the depth of your team.
His brother just signed a pretty big NFL contract, so he maybe has a little bit of cushion where he wouldn't have
just mooch off his brother.
Wait, you think Devon just like is paying Ty's way?
What is this? Get on the cell phone bill,
at some
baby.
Point,
what is your family like?
Exactly. It's like, buddy,
you're
brother,
on that cell phone
brother,
bill.
Can you pay my cell phone bill, please? Like, I mean, that's
my car, a little bit of cushion. My car dealer only gives me this. I would like this, brother.
Bob, is that how your brothers work?
I don't know how that works. Berman's brothers.
Were your brothers in the NFL?
No, but maybe they're...
Were you paying their way?
No, that's not how it happened.
Okay,
nobody asked you to pick up a tab every once in a while.
I'll pick up a dinner for going to eat, but if you're
that's all I'm talking about.
If you're overtly, asking for me to...
A little bit of cushion, he said. I don't know.
They asked him to buy him a house.
I don't know. You're acting like it was a supplementary lifestyle.
He just wants some Chipotle every now and then.
Maybe I'm different. If one of my brothers had a $50 million contract, I bet they would do that for us, even though you wouldn't have to ask.
When are we getting a credit card in the mail,
Get on that family
plan. If you
have
a $50 million contract, you don't believe in credit at that point. Or you shouldn't.
Or is that you don't believe like in credit space?
Because credit's not real at that point. Oh. You just get whatever you want.
Oh.
Credit companies are giving you things.
I don't know if that's how any of this works.
Yeah, the secret for the truly wealthy is that they never pay for anything.
Well,
there's something to be said for that.
There is something to be said for that. I'll go into my Jim Irsay spiel again, since he likes the virtue signal, and he was the one that wanted to run Dan Snyder out of the league because he was such a bad guy. And when he got popped with 25 or 40K in 40K in cash and a bag of pills in his car, he was passed out, I think, in his car. And someone's like, well, he's a millionaire. He has a lot of money, a billionaire even. I'm like, yeah. So if he wants to go buy a Mercedes, he just goes there and they just give it to him. He signs, they drive away. Hey, my guy's going to call it. Why are you the money? They're not paying for it in cash in the dealership. That's not how that works. The wealthier you are, you buy the credit is your, hey, here, call this guy. Name? Yes. Sign it. Actually, just make a phone call. What do I need to tell him? Perfect.
All right. I did not know that's where we were going.
We're going everywhere.
Going everywhere. I was...
Boundless. I think this is actually called the Boundless Monday Show.
It is. There are no limits.
There are no limits.
Mr. Unlimited.
Mr. Unlimited.
The newest member of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I'm sure that's exactly what the Steelers need to turn this
in there, I think, right?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Well, he fits
blue collar city.
Mike Tomlin's going to give him his office for his people. His people.
I bet
Sierra. They're putting a Mazda out for Mike out front in the parking lot.
I bet Sierra doesn't move to Pittsburgh. That's my take.
Are you kidding me? They're redoing. Flashdance.
Well, she didn't even live in Denver. She stayed out. She's still living in San Diego. Anyway.
But they're doing, we're going to redo Flashdance.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure what.
Just a Steel Town girl on a Saturday night.
With Russ? Is he going to be in it?
She's a maniac on the floor.
Steelers country.
I'm skeptical of that. Let's ride.
Let's weld.
Bob, what was the most interesting thing you feel from week one of spring?
Oh, Sonny Styles moving to linebacker.
Ah, yeah, there we go. Just kick it right out. I knew I'd just throw it to the linebacker.
That's how
we all feel, I think. So.
Well, and that's what everybody was like, oh, you know, what's it going to look like? And, you know, they were doing some three linebacker set stuff, which they saw last year. It's just depending on the team, like having versatility. So I'm curious just how that integration happens, how that rotation looks, because they had CJ out there, you know, with the, you know, the first group, and they're rotating Sonny in and, you know, working some things out. And by the way, I mean, it's his first 2 days of playing linebacker. So there's obviously a lot that
and no pads.
Needs to work and really no pads. So it doesn't work. And, you know, then watching Caleb Downs move around out there, I thought that was pretty impressive. Just the corner mixes, because they had Jordan Hancock out wide a little bit, which, you know what, like if you're playing some three linebacker sets, what's he supposed to do? Just stand on the side, get him some reps out there so you can rotate him with Denzel, David, and then also Jermaine Matthews, get those guys all out there together and like, hey, two and two, work it out and get a nice rotation going so those guys can get plenty of reps. But it was fun to kind of watch that in the competitive nature and element of what we're seeing out there.
Jay-Z?
I talked about seeing a clip earlier. I saw another clip of the two running backs.
Mm-hmm.
And they look like they look like they're going to be okay.
I think they're pretty good.
I think the new addition is going to be all right if we can keep everybody healthy there. But just watching those, just, I mean, of course, they're not hitting anybody. They're just running and doing whatever. But they look like they got it. So I think that was a huge pickup. But other than that, the 6'7" punter that we just signed that hit a ball out of
Jay-Z's just pumped
hit a ball out of a stadium.
Going down under for a punter, special teams.
I didn't even heard about him. I've been asking Berm what kind of punters we were bringing in.
He's way too old for Berm.
Well, I saw him walking.
He's 22. He's
I thought he was like 27.
No, he's a 22-year-old. You know, certainly.
Berm prefers kids that can't drive yet. So get him in
that's
the
how
car.
He gets him. I'll give you a ride.
Did you
home.
See this guy on Tuesday, Bob? I mean, he was walking around the facility. I'm like, there's no way he's a punter.
I thought he was a D-end or a tight end.
I thought he was a tackle.
Yeah, I mean, like, he's a big, or maybe like a young tackle. Like, he's,
I love it.
He's 6'7", and he's, like, broad, big. Like, he's not a small human.
Booming balls.
Because they have a lot of guys coming through and, like, different ages. You don't know if it's, like, a sophomore, junior, like, whatever their age group is.
Yeah, developmental tackle. That's what I thought he was. No way. Punter, 22.
Speaking of
tackle. And then I heard him with the accent. I'm like, oh, well, that's obviously a punter. He's from Australia.
Speaking of tackle, is Montgomery playing guard right now still? I know it's only been a couple practices, but
he was when we were in. Unless Bob saw something different than we did. He was at guard, and he went on the first day, he was next to Josh Fryer, and on the second day, he was with the quote-unquote second unit as they scrambled.
And Fryer, I think, has looked pretty good at tackle. I mean, what you can see without pads thus far, and trying to find out what that combination looks like, find the best five up there that work together, and that's going to be what the challenge is. And I'm sure they'll be workshopping some of that because there was a thought like maybe you play Montgomery to tackle and maybe you kick Fryer inside. And I don't know if that's something that they still could even look at, but just trying to figure out how those guys fit. You know, when we were there, I mean, they shifted guys around. I mean, it was similar starters, but guys flopping right to left, inside, outside. One of our friends, Doug, I mean, he played tackle, guard, and center.
Yeah.
You know, so if you have guys that can do some of that, that helps.
Yeah, I mean, Luke's one of those guys that's versatile enough. And I think – it's an interesting thing. Maybe we didn't think about a lot of the conversation about the offensive line alignment and where Fryer's going to be. But in this Chip Kelly offense where maybe the guards need to be a touch more athletic.
They need to be a lot more athletic.
It makes a lot more sense now than we thought about 3 weeks ago about where Luke Montgomery belongs, because he is the most athletic offensive lineman on the roster, I think. So if you can get the best out of him in that spot, maybe it makes more sense. Plus also, like, it's something we talked about last week and folks scoffed at it a little bit, but like maybe Josh Fryer just gets better.
In year two, he's an older tackle. He's played it now another year, like he said, year under his belt. I mean, that's just, you know, talking with some people today, like how big of a deal that is. Like just playing it for a season, getting a year older, the guys you're going against are now mostly a year younger than you, or you've been aging through the process. And that's a big deal on the physical element. And then just seeing things, it all starts to slow down a little bit.
It does feel like you look back at Josh Fryer, the times that he had breakdowns or gave up pressures, it didn't feel like a complete lack of athleticism. To me, it was like late identification.
Yeah, skill, like a skill thing, a technique issue where just working through that and getting more comfortable to where it's the second nature. And that goes all the way through the season. Because once you start playing, he'll tell you, it doesn't, you have a limited time to develop like your techniques and skill because it becomes a game planning situation. Spring, summer, camp is where those things happen. So now, after going through the winter, getting back into this probably feels a lot better.
And he was a, what do they call it, in the weight room, winter time.
Gold. Weight room warrior.
Yeah, he was a weight room champion.
Iron warrior, Buckeye. Right?
Put on gold. Maybe put on a little bit of weight.
He was also like second team All Big Ten and by the coaches. First team All Big Ten. By the coaches. So
but not good enough.
It's like clearly the coaches around the league saw something. Like we like a lot what he's doing. I think, and you mentioned it this morning on the Podcast Daily, like it seemed like with Josh Fryer a year ago, the bad moments were just everything went horrible.
Bad timing. Yeah, it was.
And some of that's because maybe the quarterback wasn't good at eluding pressure. Sometimes it's a free runner. Sometimes you just make a mistake. But those three or four mistakes that are glaring from Josh Fryer from the 2023 season, like, are impossible to ignore because they all ended up in blindside wallops and fumbles and stuff like that. So I think that maybe, I mean, we're guilty of this, especially Bill. Totally guilty of this.
Jumping to conclusions?
Just wants to talk about the offensive line so much that maybe we just need to take a step back and let it unfold.
Yeah. See how it goes.
A very common problem in coverage of this team is too much offensive line.
Calling you out, Bill.
Just not paying enough attention to the quarterbacks and only talking about the offensive line. What a problem we have.
He's over there champing at the bit, ready to get on here.
He's going to get ready to defend himself. To tag in here
start champing
after
on some of these.
Talks about these.
Oh, the delicious
Burms basket is gone.
They are
gone.
They brought an empty basket out.
No, they did not.
Insane.
They brought
you drank us that hot sauce. Drank the chaser. Hot sauce. But mac and cheese bites, appetizer threes day. They're the featured appetizer, so they're $3 all day long. On Tuesday, and they're delicious. Cooked really well. Golden brown on the outside, crispy.
Gooey on the
warm
inside.
Warm and gooey on the inside.
I think they have some new fry oil in there.
No. Oh, boy.
Is that what
this
that
is? Call. This Burman is back into Burman area. I'm not saying it's new, but I'm saying it's
when a guy, good. Okay, he's like, hey, guys, I need the new oil back there.
It's legit. This is a good batch.
It's a great batch.
Get your good batch on Tuesday. We're going to take a quick break in here at Roosters. We're going to bring Bill in. We're going to talk way more about
the
offensive
line. Are we kicking Berm out?
He's out of here.
Negative Berm?
He's gone.
See you later.
BG Berm.
We didn't even get a chance to talk about gag orders, paranoia, government takeovers. I mean,
Justin's still here for the second episode.
I watched I Am Legend with my kids, and I was explaining to them, like, I mean, honestly, there wasn't a whole lot of explaining. I go, instead of just everyone dying from COVID, imagine 10% of them turn into zombies and then eat the 1% of the people that lived. And they're like, oh.
Just wait till 2025,
there
Bob.
There you go. They're right here.
Coming around them out.
Coming around them out. I'm going to throw it to break.
Hey, do you remember how,
right.
How in I Am Legend?
Now.
No. How it was started?
I don't think I've ever seen that.
Oh, really? You've seen
it? It's been a while, but yeah.
It's one of Will Smith's best.
When his dog died, it was like the saddest part of the movie.
Well, he had to kill it because he was turned into the vampire, zombie dog. And then, but they were trying to cure cancer, and they thought they had this revolutionary cure, except then those patients begin to exhibit rabies.
Did it come
forms.
From a bat?
I think.
You think
an overseas bat.
Overseas bat?
They
would like this episode to remain on YouTube, so let's...
Like I
Am Legend, great movie.
We're going to break, and we're going to be right back in at Roosters, where we're having a very fun, casual conversation.
Roosters has been so fortunate. We just want to be able to give some of that back to the community.
They donate to organizations that are near and dear to their heart, and we're so fortunate to have been with Roosters now for a long time.
They always go above and beyond to help support our foundation to further help veterans.
It's just a wonderful feeling to know that Roosters supports the Buckeye Cruise for Cancer.
All the folks at Roosters are just genuinely kind folks, and they want to make a difference.
Thank you, Roosters Foundation.
Thank you, Roosters.
Thank you, Roosters.
Thank you, Roosters Foundation.
We're back, and Bill Landis is here.
Bill.
And what up? I know that you could hear it. You're in the lounge, and Burma's just...
He's over there working hard. I don't know if he was paying attention.
There were some strays over
there. I didn't hear 100% of what he said. I heard him say my name and the offensive line.
Yeah. Apparently, you talk about it too much. And
the position that held him back last year. I talk about it too much.
The position that held him back.
Yes, thank you.
Sorry.
Yeah, they're not that important.
Yeah.
Seems like
you don't need to keep the guys.
This is an offensive line driven program.
It should be.
It was the first thing that he clocked when he walked in the Woody on Tuesday. There's Josh Fryer.
There's Josh Fryer at tackle. There's Luke Montgomery at guard. I don't know. What did we say? I can't remember what we said. Like what we would expect. I think I was actually on the. I think Josh Fryer will be a guard.
I thought that's what going into spring. I thought maybe Montgomery was going to switch the roof.
The only thing I would say about that in this offense, and I think maybe Berm or you alluded to it, Chip likes to pull guys a lot. Yeah, and Luke moves probably as well as anybody on the offensive line that they have. So if you're going to be pulling and running those guys, he's the guy you probably want out there doing that.
Yeah, and that's kind of what Ryan Day said when he was asked about it on Tuesday was, right? He said, like, with some of the schemes we're going to be running, we kind of like the idea of Luke as an athlete there. Luke and Donovan, right? Donovan moved pretty well, too. So it makes sense totally. It just makes me wonder now where exactly right tackle's going.
But probably just going to be Josh
Fryer. Probably.
And we went in. We were talking about it on Monday before the first practice of spring. It was like, because Ryan Day had not just cracked the door open. It was like basically inviting everyone to speculate that maybe Josh Fryer would be better at guard. And then that changed because he's like, I guess. I thought if you're going to make the move and do that experimentation, like Josh Fryer has already played a year at tackle. Maybe the first day of practice he should be at guard if that's something you're considering, which he was not. And then he wasn't there again on Thursday, which makes me think that they're looking at last year and the chance for him to grow with that year under his belt and maybe the Chip Kelly, Luke Montgomery factor, like, this is just the best way. I don't know. I mean, there's still 13 more practices. Nobody has to make a final decision after two padless practices, but at least they started that way.
And I would say nobody has to make a final decision yet.
Yeah, on so anything.
There's still hope. Bill, they may come out like a double helix and just switcheroo next week. Who knows?
Seth McLaughlin's playing tackle next week.
That would surprise me.
Do you think now, just based on what we've seen, do you think we're going to see Josh Fryer play any guard this spring?
Doesn't seem like it.
Yeah, I kind of think not now.
Unless he's getting beat like a drum at tackle,
yeah,
then I would think that he will stay at tackle
for
the remainder of the spring. Unless it's just so blatantly obvious that, like, hey, he is somehow worse than last year.
Taking a step back.
Yeah.
Can't have this out there.
I don't think that he would probably change. I think they'll keep him out there. A year of experience helps a lot, too. Like, in the system and, you know, Berm or Austin was alluding to maybe a quarterback mobility issue as well. And so you get in the system for another year. You feel better about it. You've got a year of physical development. You're an older guy. I think that those things all bode well. And especially if you feel more confident, maybe in some of the guys that are all the way up and down the line around you. So you can be a little more creative sometimes with your blocking schemes.
That's one of the tough parts of spring, isn't it, Bob? Like, Josh Fryer may get beat in drills because he's going against JT Tuimolo and Jack Sawyer. And even if he's against the twos, then that's Kenyatta Jackson and Caden Curry. So, like, good luck to you. Like, you know, somebody's got to win the drills. That's the nature of practice.
And I thought he held up in one-on-ones last year against Jack and JT very well. And it wasn't like he wouldn't win them all, but he won his fair share against two guys who, you know, I deem to be pretty good players. And so we'll see, you know, how much they continue to improve and go back and forth against it. But that's a big piece of it is you're going against guys that you're getting a good look, like, and you're going to get a look that's probably better than 90% of the times that you're out there. So can you handle it physically one-on-one? And then the other part is mentally, do you know who to be able to block?
I thought that was maybe more the issue for him last year is like actually figuring out who was coming at him and who wasn't. Like, when it's pass pro drills, like, you know, the guy in front of you is coming at you. Like, when there's four guys on the line of scrimmage directly over you and you got to decipher which one to which one is most dangerous, I think is the way that Ryan Day put it last year. I think that's where Josh got himself in trouble more so than just like getting ragdolled play after play by.
I didn't see him get beat physically a lot. Like there wasn't a game where like, man, he just can't block that guy. A lot of times it's, well, you took a bad step because you were uncertain of who it was going to be, and then you're trying to recover from that. And maybe having a guy who has started, you know, 26 games at center with some of the calls and being able to identify things, that can possibly help as well. And a quarterback who's played a lot of ball who can help with that, like those, the quarterback and center are the ones that usually kind of clear a lot of that up to be like, hey, instead of it being these this many guys, it's one of these two for you. We've got it ID'd. I know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, 100%. I was just going to go to the other, to the center position, because Hensman has been taking number one reps
for the first two practices. In the open periods that we saw.
Now, I mean, Bill, could you use him anywhere else once
he could play guard.
Takes
I
over?
I thought he could play guard, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, that might be an option.
I thought they were going to be like wide open on the right side with Fryer and Montgomery and Hensman and Tegra and let's like and figure out the and who?
And Zen, right?
I mean, and Zen, yeah, tackle. Even Zen.
But I love Zens.
But Zen is probably like only a tackle.
So much energy.
And I guess Carson's only a guard or a center, but you can kind of just like throw them all out there and like pick the best two and then pick their positions after that if you wanted to. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see because I think we all believe that Seth MacFarlane's going to be the starting center, right? So, I don't know what you do with Carson.
And maybe you get him some reps at right guard. And yeah, maybe that's how saying, that kind of looks. Yeah. I mean, we're talking about 2 days here. For not sure,
100%.
In that. Like, these are the, I mean, outside of the, and you're not really seeing a lot of blitzes early on. I mean, it's pretty base and vanilla. Yeah. So as far as what you get out of those practices, the offensive line is probably the group that is getting the least amount of work out of that as far as productive functional work because you're not in pads. You're not really running the ball. And you're not seeing anything that's crazy exotic that you've got to work through on a mental level.
Yeah.
Do you still think there will be rotation with Fryer during spring practice or not?
No, I think probably not now, right? If I hadn't considered much the idea of Luke at guard in this offense, but like now that it's sort of been said, like I kind of think it does make sense. And if that's what you believe is the best spot for him, it's probably, in all this conversation, the most important thing is probably getting Luke Montgomery as comfortable as possible as a guy who's not played all that much at that position in whatever tweaks Chip Kelly is doing to this offense. So it would probably not be the best thing in the world for Luke to rotate through at right guard if that's where you think he's going to be.
Well, it sounds like Jim Knowles wants to do some tweaking, Bob.
Tweaking and twerking.
With a little double eagle action.
When
he floats this possibility.
Eagle rare.
Absolutely. Do you think that this is like something that is a realistic option, or is it going to be more mythical, like the jack position?
Mythical creatures. Yeah. I like that. Like the Minotaur.
Yeah,
Minotaur. You know,
double-headed eagle.
We could look at
could
that.
Could be the new mythical creature, just like the jack or the Leo,
the
or
Kraken. Why don't we just call it the Kraken? You know, I mean.
I'd love to see it released.
Absolutely. Okay.
What does it look like?
What's interesting is he mentioned because of Hiro Kanu playing so well. And so that's like, okay, we've got a guy that we've got to get on the field. And we need to find a way to get him out there. And do we do that by putting Jack and JT more wide and do some five down stuff? There are situations if you're seeing teams that run heavy run or if you want to get real exotic in your pass rush stuff, I don't think that that's a bad thing to do with some five down. It's a pain in the butt to try to block and to figure out. So I think there are elements where that would be really stinking good for him to be able to have that. But if you're going to do that, like I think that there's an element where
like, Sonny or CJ could do that.
I don't know if he would want to do it with Sonny quite yet. Like, not that he can't physically. It's just a big jump. I'm not a big believer in like, and we moved for safety to linebacker. Now let's just get you all the way up on the line.
You're just
going to
put your hand down on the ground.
Like that's, and like even just being on the edge, like it's the reactions that you have to teach to be able to do it. And he could spot, you know, do it in spots. Mm-hmm. But I think CJ could really be an asset there. And especially with those two guys, if you're trying to figure out a way to get them both on the field at the same time, you know, maybe you have some sets where it's maybe a five down look. Maybe you have some sets where it's more of a three down look and you can move CJ or Sonny, depending on how that looks, probably CJ, because I think he's probably a little more natural at it with how much he's blitzed and everything he's done to get him up there. But I would hope that that will be part of it. Now, you're never going to see that in the first 2 days of practice because those are things you're installing probably week three as you move through. It's game plan. Like, let's get some exposure. Let's get some packages. And then we can figure out how we want to deploy it during the year. But you're just trying to do base stuff and get those guys to master. I mean, you're trying to get Sonny Styles to make sure he knows where to line up. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a big deal. Like, yeah, he started a lot last year. Now you're starting in a completely new position group. So not even just playing safety now.
When Jim Knowles is talking about that with a double eagle package, or maybe it's going to be you see some of the Jack, or you talked about it in the first segment, Bobby, three linebackers, you got Sonny and CJ out there, and then you're rotating at corner, and what are you're taking a nickel off the field, and Jordan and Davison and Denzel Burke still rotating out there, and Jermaine Matthews. It's like this team has so much talent and can do whatever they want. It's a luxury world that they're in, but like
that's if everybody's healthy,
you still have to figure out like
what are you?
What is this team doing best?
What are you? And there's a couple elements to that. Number one, when you start talking about potentially playing 16 or 17 games, you're going to need to rotate during the season.
Sure.
And you're going to make sure that these guys are getting some time off the field just so they have the ability to endure throughout the season. Because there's been a lot of times we've like, oh, look, look how deep this position group is. And then all of a sudden it's like, wait a second, playing Xavier Johnson and
like every year at running back.
And Mitch Rossi. Those are we're in our 2-minute offense. We have Mitch Rossi at running back because that's all we have left.
Yeah. Sure.
I mean, like that's a real thing. So trying to figure that out is keep those guys healthy, keep them on the field, and then also like, hey, can we package some stuff? Can we do, depending on game situation, maybe we do a little more of this, you know, making sure we're getting more corners on the field, maybe sure we're getting more linebackers this game, you know, and just having different things. And it makes it really tough to be able to prepare. Sometimes five defensive linemen. So when you have positions where it's like, hey, you feel pretty good about the depth everywhere and you have some guys that have some scheme versatility, I think you're doing yourself a disservice if you're not exploring that a little bit and just having little elements of that to kind of throw in, because it'll force other teams, like, what are we going to do against this? Mm-hmm. And whether or not you use that or then another package, going into the game with kind of a little unique piece of it, it gives the quarterback something else to look at.
Yeah, the other coaches something that, hey, we got to have a plan for this. Yeah. If they go to this, or
they told me they were going to do this. Well, now their look is, well, they have three linebackers. It's more of a 3-3, but they had the five down last week. And so just having stuff like that, how it can confuse people, and you can kind of honestly run the same stuff out of it, but just trying to make sure that you understand what's going on, that makes it a little bit more difficult.
Just makes it hard for me to figure out a depth chart, Bill.
It's
all about me.
That does make it difficult, but I agree with Bob. Like, it's especially when you have the versatility and the experience. Like, if you had a bunch of guys that you think can do a bunch of different stuff and none of them have played, you probably just still keep it pretty basic. But like, almost everyone, like we're talking about Hero's not played a ton, but you have like 11, 12, 13 guys that have played a lot of football. I think you'd almost be wasting spring if you didn't try some stuff. And it's not to say you definitely carry it over to the fall. It's like the double eagle thing. Jim Knoll said, like, I'd like to get to that. Mm-hmm. I like to work the jack in if we can. Do it. Like, the part that's hard, I think, and he said this, maybe he said this to me and Berman, we were talking away from the interview, but like, part of spring too is like making sure the offense is getting good work in. So like, you don't want to
screw the offense, Jim,
and vice versa, I suppose. But no, I kind of agree. Like, who cares what they're doing? Throw the kitchen sink at them too. It'll help them get better. So I hope they do it. And if it makes our job more difficult to figure out what is actually going to be on the field in the fall, that's fine, because I think that puts Ohio State in a better spot when the games start.
Because it makes it more difficult for the teams they play?
Exactly, yeah.
Well, they were pretty difficult last year just doing whatever they did, so yeah. I don't know that you need to get too fancy, even though you have all these shiny new toys.
You do run that risk.
You know, you want to just, hey, let's not go too crazy over here and getting all this fun stuff. Still got to play your defense, and you were pretty dang good at it last year, and so they should be even better this year if they just went out and did, you know, what they did last year.
So, Berm suggested on the podcast daily on Monday morning that spring break 20 years ago might have been some of these bonding opportunities that you two are talking about, and a little bit wilder than maybe this current iteration of the Buckeyes might be.
These guys take like vacations like I do now.
Exactly. It's not
adult vacations.
Like adult vacations, like tonight.
It's
nice,
not the
places.
Red Roof Inn where you're jamming eight people into a room.
Yeah, these dudes like, hey, hey, can we, you guys want to drive down here? We can save money on the plane ticket. We'll drive to Myrtle Beach or drive to Panama City. Like that. And plus, you know, we were doing that. I didn't
get to go on a spring break.
I never went. One of the only guys, I know TJ went a couple. We had a couple teammates.
We had
like,
some, yeah.
But like, we would always start right into spring ball. I guess they're just kind of wedged in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah, our start would be Monday morning after spring break.
When Tress, so the last 2 years, we started having Sunday night meetings beforehand to get everybody back. Make sure everybody's back. Yeah, make sure everybody was back.
Exactly.
But I never really left. I mean, I wanted to come in shape and be ready to go. And so that's how a lot of guys, like, hey, you're battling for positions, you're making sure that you're going to be ready. Like, coming in after a six-day bender, like, that's not really the best, putting yourself in the elite level of training that you're going to have. So these guys now, they'll go someplace and they'll do some things, and I saw Mech in there. It's like, oh, you haven't left. Like, oh, we're leaving tomorrow. You know, but I'll, you know, but those guys.
He just went on the cruise.
Exactly. But like, then that's the thing. Like, we just did that. But those guys, they don't like drink and get after. Theirs is more like a relaxing. We're going to work out. We're going to do some stuff and chill and hang out. I mean, ours is like, wake up, drink.
here's a beer bong.
Yeah. Like, hey, you know what? Let me just run a little bit first, or do something a little bit active beforehand and then drink.
I think Mech told us we had him.
Those guys don't even drink at all.
Yeah, I don't. I think he said that he doesn't drink at all. We were like, Burm asked him, we were doing our Buck 9. He's like, what do you like to drink on the golf course? He's like, I don't drink anything. Yeah. Ever. So
terrible. Good for him.
Yeah. I mean, most of those guys, they're.
Like, maybe we don't want to play golf.
I mean, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
That like, sounds terrible.
They're like serious about life. Yeah. And like the best and worst ways, and getting to know them on the cruise. And just obviously, some of the guys have a little more fun than others and loosen up. But you know, some of those guys, like that dude. You know, I'm over here drinking my soda water and whatever the hell I'm doing, and that's kind of life for them.
Yeah.
And so, like, they're focused on, hey, I need to make sure I get my 3 or 4 workouts in, do this, do enough, not too much, and they're ready to go. And so, yeah, but the bonding comes, like, just hanging out together and doing stuff. I mean, you don't have to be getting sloppy drunk and, you know, wrestling each other in sand. Like, and that's part of it.
Well, sometimes that happens.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how Top Gun does it.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
It works for them.
It does. I mean, the United States military, the naval aviators of the world. Yeah. So we'll see.
Ohio State's been doing it this way, like, ever since I've covered him.
Since Urban got here. He instituted the 6-week spring break. This sounds terrible.
It's
terrible.
Yeah. And I can kind of explain it to people, but this is the first year in a long time where I've just been like, wait a minute. This doesn't really make sense to just practice twice and then.
It does, because you get 2 more meetings then, or 3 more sets of meetings. And
like, but the rules have also changed since 2012, where there's 20 hours a week, like, coachable, like, throughout the entire year.
Yeah, but then maybe that's why this is kind of, I don't think
it has the same value that it did when Urban initially.
When Urban initially did, I was like, wow, because he's like, you only get 15 practices. What's the matter? He's like, yeah, but you get more meetings then. I'm like, that sucks. Gosh, you just really worked the system in the worst way possible. They made it bad. But I think now, though, there is something, when you like are meeting every day and you don't have maybe 4 practices a week, like we would have a couple weeks of 4, you always have that day off. And so there's always time for like absorption. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just like drinking through a fire hose where at the end, I was talking to Joshua Perry about this. He's like, man, I don't even care. Like, I'm just, if I'm hoping when I'm supposed to blitz, I blitz. Is it the right area or not? I don't know. But we've literally learned like 40 calls in the last 25 days. Whereas now it's like, hey, put in 3 things, talk about it in meetings, practice it, watch it a little bit, put in a couple more things, go through some work, take a week off, come back. We'll review a little bit of that and then start with another package. Now we'll start maybe working on more second stuff and do like a third down week, and you can kind of compartmentalize it a lot better, and guys are going to remember it better than trying to just, they call it drinking through a fire hose or like a bong. You can drink more beer, but you don't really taste it as much.
Drink it faster. Right.
You don't drink it faster. So you get drunker, but you don't really enjoy it as much because you feel bloated.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you really want to live, Bob, don't put beer in the bong and try something else. And
then
now you're talking.
That's, you get into a 2-story situation. I always live by the rule. I never took my hand off of the funnel, because when you gave that over to someone else, anything
can happen.
Anything can end up in there.
Yeah.
Anything.
You know, you had Joel Damon on the new season of Full Swing, bonging champagne with his wife. So
I mean, that's
that's serious.
If you really want to know, I mean, you can go.
That'd be hard.
You can do, like, there was a point where I used to be able to do 2 beers and 2 shots of 151 all in there.
You put it into the, you mix the 151
right in the funnel.
I've not heard of that one. What do we call that?
Death.
Call that a good start.
Okay. Right?
Good start.
That's
call that night.
Pulling the cord on the lawnmower right there.
When you say that's like start fast.
Yeah.
That's the keys to victory.
That's a start fast.
That's a start fast. And then you're like, hey, I might not have to drink for the rest of the hour. Like,
but then you do. And so then after that next hour, you're really done.
But it's a fast start. Come out of the gates hard.
It's running a kickoff down return right away.
Yep. The only problem is Roy tackles you. Roy tackles you. You break your ankle and you're done.
I was not expecting the 151 to be added to that recipe.
That is the hidden gem in there.
The hidden gem, yes.
Is that how they did it in Happy Valley?
That's not how we did it in Happy Valley. No, at least not the people I was hanging out with.
Man. Sissies,
it's amazing because I can envision, like, visualizing it, like, you start to feel really warm after 10 minutes. It's like everything, like, it's like just a warm blanket just starts to come over your body. Yeah. Well, and you feel like you could run
even
through a wall.
If you just have one shot of 151, that's how you feel.
Yeah.
Let alone two beers.
I don't remember the last time I had one.
Did it matter what beer mixed with the 151?
I mean, we used to drink a lot of Coors Light back in the day. I mean, that was the Silver Bullet, so that was you know, what we tried to stay with.
Made sense,
you know?
Yeah.
An IL deal, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Good. Back then, I mean, yeah. So whatever it took.
All right. Well, happy spring break to all of those Buckeyes out there celebrating a beautiful week in Columbus. No football for us to cover, but we're still going to talk about it all week on the podcast and the podcast daily. And we did in here with a fun, casual conversation at Roosters, which is a fun, casual joint. Make sure you swing in on Tuesday.
Mac and cheese bites.
Thursday.
Unless Berm finishes all the other baskets available in here, they are $3 on Tuesday. They are delicious. Come hang out. Jay-Z. Bob, Bill, Berm, I'm Austin. Thanks for joining us on this show. We'll see you again next week. We'll be talking about spring practice number 3 for the Buckeyes. See you then.